show, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our East co-host, on a Sunday, Goz, Sunday night.
Getting May ready to 3rd. Turn the page.
Yep, that's
some
right.
Some fights coming up.
Yeah, so we're getting this one out a little bit early, and like Goz said, we might as well just call it fight week. We don't have to wait till midnight. You know, fight week starts on Monday. But yeah, we're going to call it a little bit early. And I'm excited. You know, we got UFC 249 coming up. We started talking about it yesterday when we did our EUFC 3 card on Sportscaster. Hopefully you guys caught it. If not, go check it out. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Our last three shows are up there. But yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. And so that's... It's upon us. Nothing, you know, I keep telling people I'm not really nervous every time I go on Junkie, you know, hit refresh. It's going to happen. I know it is. And so we're going to talk about that card here on today's program. Along with that, we're going to talk about the latest news in mixed martial arts, you know, some rumors here and there. And then, of course, even a couple boxing promoters taking different stances towards Dana White. So buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Sunday. Getting it out early. Here we go. All right, Goz. Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje is our headliner in less than a week. Next Saturday, at the Vistar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. One of them is going to be crowned the interim lightweight champion.
I'm down. I have, I don't want to say it. I'm fairly confident this is going to happen. I don't have the same worries that I would have had maybe 2 weeks ago. This just feels like everything's set in motion. These fights are going to happen, and not just this card, but the one right after it. And it's just going to be a continuous stream of mixed martial arts for us. I think a lot of us are on the same page now, and I'm excited to turn the page.
Didn't Justin Gaethje say he has 5 battles left? Don't miss it because he's going to retire and you're going to miss him.
Yeah, doesn't he keep changing it, though?
Well, yeah. So what happened was he said something like battles or historical fights, something like that. Then he fought a couple times. We were like, hey, what are we down to, 3? He goes, no. He goes, I said battles. He goes, kind of like slobber knockers.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt like, you know what? There's still a few more of those left. I think he was toying around with words and letting us know that maybe he's reconsidered or, you know, the money gets better. The money gets better. Some big, big fights are coming up, including this one for gold. I know it's the interim title, but still. He says he won't feel like a champion until he fights Khabib Nurmagomedov for the Undisputed. I get that, but it'll still be gold if he wins, and it'll be over Tony Ferguson, for crying out loud, except that it'll be in front of nobody, you know? So I just want him to know, hey, look, I hope this isn't one of them because we love watching you fight, Justin, and you can't count this one against us if it turns out to be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, the question is, if he wins, does he do the flip off the cage? Do you even do that if there's no fans? Or is that just automatic?
You know, he's probably in some state of mind where he probably even forgets that thousands are in the arena and millions are at home. So I imagine if it's something vicious and he can get that stoppage, yeah, I think he'll still go through his routine. I think there'll be less people there. I think there's going to be the minimal amount. Like, you're going to have your 3 judges. You're going to have your timekeeper. You're going to have your referee. You're going to have your doctor. doctor. I don't think there'll be a reason for two of them. Maybe there'll be two of them. I'm sure there'll be two teams of the EMTs, you know, the ambulance, all them. Mm-hmm. But you know, in Las Vegas, sometimes you'll see two or three doctors there. I don't know
the Contender Series. I usually see at least two. One's your surgeon.
Yeah. Dr. Sanders. Mm-hmm. Steven Sanders. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, okay, let's just say there's two there. But I guess what I was going to say was, you know, usually after the fight, they hold a few people back from coming in. You know, there's some people that rush in and rush out. It's going to be such a minimal amount of people that, go ahead, man. If you just finish Tony Ferguson, go ahead and do your flip. I'd rather him not do it.
Me neither. When I was there live, he almost landed on a fighter once.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know that. I think I've seen the highlight where he's hit somebody before, but I just think it's inevitable. But he's got to get through Tony Ferguson first, and yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think he's just said, man, he's just programmed. You know, there's so much that goes through him that he feels like he's out of control in a sense. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of the celebration. So we all got to live with it. But he's not too worried about hurting himself. We've told him, what if he land, man, and like just
GSP hurt your knee and never or hit it, right?
Achilles or something. Well, they never hit that. You know, when you watch the gymnastics in the Olympics, and you know how they have the floor routine, and it's like, we'll say 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, and you'll say, oh, wow, look, he hit that. Oh, boy, he hit that. Or he or she. He or she, wow, oh my gosh, yeah, they never hit that one all the way. Holy cow, they're going to get a 10. And what you're saying basically is along the lines of at the very end, they're going to do that one tumble where they run across the whole way and they're going to do backflip after backflip and something crazy. But I think we're all thinking if they stick the landing, he or she's going to get a 10, you know, and possibly again win the gold medal. Well, GSP never sticks that landing. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. He lands, but he'll stumble around, sometimes have to put his finger down or something like that, and it's a three-point stance. So that's good. I don't care so much about sticking the landing. I just don't want him to ever get a serious injury out of that. You know, something. Because, look, May 3rd? September's going to be big, and I'll tell you why. For one, everybody knows Goes and I are born 3 days apart. So September is just when our birthdays are. But what else goes? Football. It's also going to be Khabib versus the winner of this fight. You know what I mean? So right now, there's not too many big days to look forward to. But, you know, May 9th is huge. But I'm thinking just the month of September is circled big for me. That's honestly where I think I'm going to feel a little bit more like a normal human being. Not just an MMA fan, not just an MMA media member, but a guy that I think can probably sit from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the sportsbook at Mandalay Bay, kind of like without a mask, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, and just be okay. I'll still wash my hands, of course. I'll still put my mask on if I'm in close quarters, you know, a lot. But I think I can be in that studio and just start to be a little bit normal. And I think my people around me, my friends, my family, the coworkers that I know at Mandalay Bay, I think everybody will just start to hit their stride.
I sure hope so.
But yeah. MMA-wise as well, I just think I think that's where the UFC is going to finally put it in fifth gear. You know, Contender Series is flying. A lot of these shows are flying. Maybe a belt or two's changed. But I think that's when, like, some big clashes are going to happen. Plus, that new stadium is supposed to open, you know? Like, are the Raiders going to play? Though? I know. Are the Raiders going to play in front of, you know, 70 or 70,000? I don't know.
How could you have your first game in a brand new stadium and not have fans? I don't know what's going to happen with that. And if they've shown the COVID cases and how they've gone up at that job site. So they keep saying they're going to open on time, but I don't know. Things are getting kind of scary over there.
Isn't there talk of the NBA also finishing their season in Vegas?
Yeah, and Mandalay Bay is going to be their home. Mandalay Bay, the Delano, and Luxor.
Right.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, and, you know, NBA playoffs, folks, that takes about 2 months. So let's just say they started tomorrow, the 4th. That's what, till July. But they got to finish the season and then do all that. So like September, that could be when the Lakers get crowned, too.
I think it might be a little accelerated, though, because you don't have travel days. you know, which is what maybe separates some of the games, part of it, right? If you're staying in the same hotel, then maybe you just need one day in between or something like that, right? You don't need, on some of them, you get two because you're traveling across the country sometimes.
September, another thing, it starts to cool down a little bit.
Finally.
Yeah, like, it's still hot, but like, all right, finally, we're in the 90s. We're not in the hundreds like in June, July, and August. Anyway, folks, look, Ferguson versus Gaethje is less than a week away. It is fight week. I don't think they're going to... Have you seen anything in regards to a countdown or anything like that?
I doubt it. I mean, for that, you would need, like, camera crews.
What's the weekly one? What's the daily one? Sorry. I forgot already. Yeah, the...
Embedded. yeah, I doubt. Well,
no, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I bet you the UFC will have something on their own.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Or like maybe a future ESPN, you know, 30 for 30 or something like that. Maybe you might see some of that. Or maybe they might ask cornermen to just film a lot, you know, off of their phone. They give them a phone or something. But I don't know that you'll get your regular fight week. Hell, I don't even know if is media going to be allowed there? I don't think so, right?
I know one media member that might be there.
Yeah.
But I could see no more than 10.
I know that cornermen are going to be allowed, right? It seems it seems like they're going to have their three cornermen.
That I don't know.
I think so.
You've seen something about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, didn't you say something like, in Ngannou's case, what if Eric didn't pass his test? And so you had me wondering, oh boy, Ngannou's only bringing Eric? I imagine there's...
That was just my example.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything, but what I'm saying is if you're only allowed one cornerman and you show up, they're going to test you as soon as you get there. And if for some reason your cornerman tests positive, now you're left with no cornerman. And so I believe they are going to allow three cornermen.
Good. That's the way it should be. Yeah. All right. Henry Cejudo is fighting Dominic Cruz. That's the other title fight. I'm very much looking forward to that one as well. And these two, I wouldn't say they have like a history, but they know of each other from the state of Arizona, from the sport of wrestling. So it'll be interesting to see if it has its chance to ramp up a little bit. I will admit that if I was to watch Countdown or Embedded, that I'd like to see a little bit more of the... what that kind of history there might be, you know, just because there's nothing else to do either. But they're both talkers. And for Cruz, folks, don't be shocked if Cruz calls it quits soon. This might be it. I'm not saying I know anything, but come on, man. This guy just, he gets in. He's injury prone. And I have a feeling that he knows he's accomplished enough to already be deeply respected in the sport and not have to. It's not like he has to say, hey, you know what, man? I got to break Jones and Demetrius Johnson's record for most title defenses or most consecutive defenses or champ. No, man. You can just pretty much await your turn to get your blazer and to get... you know, inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. I mean, you're already an awesome analyst, maybe the best around, some say. You already have had a pretty historical run.
He's covered all the bases. He was a tough coach too, right?
Like
he's practically done it all.
So, literally, man, if you're really just crawling to the finish line, like, and you win this fight, I mean, I guess even win or lose, think about it is all I'm saying. Now, let's just say he says, George, I just went through a 10-week camp. No problem. And let's just say he beats Cejudo. Then, yeah, I guess, cool. I mean, you don't have the wear and tear that other guys do. But one day, goes, I would like to do, and here we go giving ideas away, because I notice when we say shit, a lot of other journalists run and cash in on that idea. I want to do either one of those Facebook chats or Q&A or just some sort of a segment on fighters that had they not had an extra fight or two, just how great their record would have been and how they could have walked away and been so much more at peace, you know, in a way. Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, because if he had beaten Mizugaki and then came back and beat Dillashaw, I mean, he would have retired at 22-1, having won the WEC belt, UFC belt. He would have had title defenses. He would have avenged his only loss, which was the Faber, and that was a trilogy that he wound up winning. So he kind of would have just... I think the one thing we all would have said was, wow, you know, he didn't have a lot of title defenses or this or that. But, man, the dude was just really, really injured. Instead, he came back, and that fight with Cody Garbrandt, I mean, that one did not look good for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd hate for him to experience another one like that. But right now, he's going up against Triple C, for crying out loud. Who knows what might happen?
It's going to be interesting because I don't know that Triple C is the same fighter that Cody Garbrandt is. Not that he's better or worse. He just doesn't have the same fight style. I don't know that he could do some of the things that seem to give Dominic Cruz some problems. What he can do really well is wrestle, but what Dominic's very good at is fighting off that takedown. So let's see. I mean, Triple G's been able to take down a lot of people that people have had problems with. You know, Demetrius Johnson's one guy that rarely gets put on his ass, and he found a way to put him down. Not just put him down, but keep him down. So let's see how that fight plays out. But it's going to be an interesting fight. I'm very, very much looking forward to that one.
Well, he's got one punch power for sure. So he can match Garbrandt there. And he's got amazing wrestling. So much so that he won an Olympic gold medal. I'm not sure you knew that. And a lot of the audience might be saying, what?
Henry Cejudo?
Yeah, he did. That's just something we don't know about. It's not like he wears the gold medal around all the time to tell us.
Hmm.
All right, Francis Ngannou versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Folks, that's still there, and that one's the big firecracker. That's, you open up your box of fireworks. Dad, what'd you get us? Isn't there one called Spirit of 76 and Block Party or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
This is the big one. This is the one you're supposed to end the whole neighborhood.
The $30 one?
Yeah. You know, hey, this is the last one, folks. All right, this one's going to be a big one here. But it's not for a title, and so...
Some people say it should be for an interim title.
Could be, yeah, could be, but it's not. Miocic, it's hard to say. I mean, I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole. So Miocic is injured quite frequently as of late, it seems like. He hasn't been fighting that frequently, and I guess you're right, Goz, if they're going to do something with old Khabib there, why wouldn't they be doing it? Both guys brought it up.
We're not anywhere near a date or anything on that fight.
Yeah.
So how's that any different? At least with Khabib, we know he can't fight now, but we know exactly when he can fight. I don't see if you're going to do it for that. Why you wouldn't do it for this?
Just saying, hey, the pandemic's more important right now than fighting. And, you know, he had some surgeries. And I get it. I'm not going to go against what he's saying, but... he hasn't said anything that leads me to believe in June or July this fight might go down. Like, there's still just this huge question mark out there. I think the UFC, they wouldn't be out of line in any way if they had made this for an interim title. Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens, that still stands. Jorgen De Castro versus Greg Hardy, that still stands. So, folks, basically... this thing without Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer, which is going to happen, I guess, next month, it's pretty much intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't lose anything. It's still a great card. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, for the most part, I think people are just happy to see MMA back. Really, I don't even know that they had to come this strong, but that's what the UFC's doing, and we'll see how it works out for them. But I'm excited. There's great fights top to bottom.
How big do you think this thing will be this whole week? Like, you think there's going to be, you know, the whole ESPN car wash and the big names?
Yeah, I think they're going to make a big
across deal all out of those it. Shows and nonstop plugs here and there.
I think so. There's nothing left to talk about. What else are we going to talk about? The draft is over, so really not much going on in the NFL. If NBA comes out and breaks some news about how they're going to finish their season, or MLB or NHL. Then, yeah, there's more to talk about. But right now, there's really nothing to talk about. So I don't see why this shouldn't dominate the news cycle.
I agree. And we're going to be on Sportscaster doing an alternative broadcast on Saturday night. We've done it for all the pay-per-views, it seems like, for the last 2 years or so. So I'm glad that that's something that's going to stay consistent. It's not like Goz and I were going to put a credential to go to Jacksonville. He mentioned something earlier, but honestly, I don't know that I'm free to say, but I think one of the members of our staff has teased the possibility of being in Jacksonville. I don't know if they're allowing for handpicked, you know, media, or if they actually even opened the portal, the media portal, for people to just try. And if you're willing to go, you go. But I think this one's going to be a little more selective.
Yeah, I would imagine very selective. But I would think the last thing you want are media members to jump on planes and do all those rounds. So who knows? Maybe local media? I don't know.
Yeah. There's two boxing promoters who have opined as of late. Oscar De La Hoya from Golden Boy Promotions. He says Dana White is doing a phenomenal job in defending his sport during this COVID-19 pandemic. There was really no reason for Oscar De La Hoya, the founder of Golden Boy Promotions, the former boxing champ, to just heap praise on Dana White in his recent interview with CBS's CBS Sports State of Combat podcast. But he did. And from what I've known of promoters, yeah, when there's a chance to hit somebody at the knees, they do. The praise, well, yeah, it comes, but you know what usually follows after that? I guess a favor, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Dana White and this guy have gone at it pretty big time, you know, the past few years.
As it can get without blows, I think.
With that whole Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, that was a boiling point. That surprised me. Now, on the flip side, you got Bob Arum basically saying that Dana White and the UFC could support combat sports back, you know? He noted about how UFC 249 kind of fell apart in the state of California, and it took some politicians to get involved. And then he was even bringing up the fact that one of the fighters tested positive for coronavirus. We all found out that was Lyman Good. So he was out there and he's saying, look, don't ruin it for everybody kind of thing. You know what I mean? His quote exactly is, good luck to them. He told BoxingScene.com, I just hope that they're not endangering the safety of anyone. But this kind of cowboy behavior doesn't do anybody any good. We're looking now with Nevada, he continues, which will do in a sensible way, or California goes. We're working with Bob Bennett, who everybody knows is the Nevada State Athletic Commission director, and the California State Athletic Commissioner, their top guy is Andy Foster.
Texas, too, I believe.
And he says, and we're talking to the Texas Commission. We're going to do this if it's safe for the fighters and everyone involved, and it's approved by the medical authorities. Why do I bring this up? Because I think we said something similar. We said, hey, look, okay, look, Jacksonville's going down, and, man, we want all the safety in the world for everybody. We're not trying to prove a point. We're not going to be I told you so type of dudes or anything like that if anything goes wrong. But it did seem like Nevada would be receptive to hosting events pretty soon, just because this state has graded well in the way they've dealt with COVID-19. And when he said that, I thought, well, how's he talking to Bob Bennett? And I'm sure the UFC has, but why haven't they done anything to maybe halt whatever's happening in Florida and just getting the damn thing going here in the state on their home grounds, where I know they would do an even better job of hosting the event?
I don't know that everything Bob Arum said was wrong. Honestly, I agree with him in the sense of direction that the UFC had when they were trying to get into Taji Palace. I thought that was a big mistake for a lot of reasons that Bob Arum brought up. But now things have kind of changed a little bit, and he's right. It does have some feeling of politics being involved and all that. But I think they might have just gotten past that. I think everything's going to be okay in that aspect. Obviously, if somebody tests positive or something, that could hurt a lot. I don't know that it'll bleed over to the other sports, just because the other sports have done such a good job of keeping their distance from the UFC. You know, it seems like baseball is kind of on the same page as basketball, is on the same page as hockey. They seem like they're working together. The UFC has been more of a renegade, doing things on their own. So I think if they fail, that failure will just go towards them and not sports in general.
I think if he hadn't mentioned that he had been talking to Nevada and California, I think I just would have looked at that and said, oh, there goes old Bob again. You know, he just doesn't like Dana. They don't exchange Christmas cards or anything. And then my only point would have been like, hey, what happened to De La Hoya? He had to change the tune. But when I saw that quote, I thought, hold on a second. Then why is this going down in Florida if they're having sensible talks? Now, it could be that for him, his interpretation of whatever he's heard from Bennett or Foster, maybe that meant July or August, and Dana's like not even trying to hear anything regarding Nevada unless it starts with the word May, the month of May that we're in. If that's the case, then Dana just probably did not want to wait. He wants to get those shows in this year, 42 of them to ESPN, and the sooner the better. You can't turn back the clock.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did finish out again by saying, we're not going to be cowboys. I don't want to get in politics involved, but I have really very little respect for Dana and what he's doing.
And cowboys. He doesn't seem to like cowboys very much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any type of behavior that Bob Arum doesn't like, you're a cowboy.
He said he would look to take cues from the NBA or the NFL, and he mentioned Adam Silver and Roger Goodell specifically. You know, when I think of those big, big sports like that, they probably have committees of scientists and experts that they lean on before they make their big decisions. So I get what Bob Arum's saying. Look, what are they saying? If they're saying something, then, you know, it's been vetted, it's been studied, and, you know, sounds like the best decisions can be made if you follow those sports, I think is what he's trying to say. Whereas Dana seems to be like, I'm going to lead the way, I don't know, but hey, it's fight week, what can we do?
I agree with both of them.
Yeah.
I really do. If Dana White can pull it off, and it seems like they are really trying to do this in a safe manner, then yeah, at the end of the day, I think he would have been right. But all it takes is one thing to fall out of line and it's going to blow up in his face. And I honestly don't know what the comeback is if you're him. I don't know what you say.
Yeah, agreed. How about that interview we did with Big John McCarthy? He basically came straight up and said, I didn't want my fellow referees. He's not a referee anymore, but I think they regard him as one, you know. Even though he's the color commentator at Bellator, I think whatever he says has a lot of weight in the referee and judge world. He didn't want his guys at the California show because it wasn't going to be sanctioned, and that's just not the way you do it. That goes against everything that the UFC stood for under the Zuffa era, where they ran towards these government bodies versus running away from the government body. See, Big John's been in the sport so long that they had to go to different states that would allow it for them to go through with, pulling off these UFC shows. And it was different under the era of the Fertitta brothers. They wanted the government involved and they wanted to have a set of rules that would be observed by all the commissions out there, and they didn't want some senator or congressman or something like that constantly, you know, battling them much of the way like former Senator John McCain, who passed recently. Senator McCain looked like the type of guy who would actually enjoy this combat sport, but he didn't like the way it wasn't being regulated.
I think when Big John ends his career, it's funny because I think so many people are going to remember him as the referee. And then I think there'll be a new crop of people that just remember him as a Bellator broadcaster. But really, really where he set his mark was trying to get the sport off the ground, regulated. Even going back to the early UFCs, that dude's, he's been through a lot. So you have to respect that guy's opinions when he speaks. I'm not saying you have to agree with him, but you have to respect them. And I think it's funny that he still keeps in contact with these guys, because I think that proves that point that there's guys like Herb Dean, Jason Herzog that are great referees, but they still like to get the input of Big John. And I think that goes a long way. So when a guy like that speaks up, I don't know that you just kind of turn a blind eye to anything he says. I think you have to respect everything that guy says.
Agreed, for sure. And I would like him to be a part of
Hall of Fame.
Well, for sure. But I would have liked for him to be consulted on how referees and judges are going to do their job in front of no crowd and with possible any form of limitations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know he works for the competitor, excuse me, but I still think you could pull him in and say, hey, look, this is what we're thinking of doing on May 9th in Jacksonville, Florida. Doesn't make sense. I don't want the state of Florida to suggest, you know what, the judges should be in the fifth row as opposed to cage side. I want Big John to be there and say, no. They may do that, right? They may do that and be safer. But if we're going to do this, we all agree to some form of a risk. But we're not. What we're not going to do is shortchange the sport. You know what I mean? And
right.
And have them have less of a field of vision or something like that. I'd like for him to be a part of that decision making, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even Dana White should be able to say that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Two more quick stories goes. Dana White announced the full list of the UFC matchups for May 13th and May 16th in Florida. So now we know the fight cards for May 9th, the 13th, and the 16th. Remember, the 13th is a fight night series, and it's a Wednesday. It includes Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira, Big Ben Rothwell versus Ovince St. Preux, Drew Dober versus Alexander Hernandez, Ray Borg versus Ricky Simone, and Carl Roberson versus Marvin Vettori. That's the main card. On the prelims, you still got Michael Johnson. Chase Sherman's back goes. Andre Arlovsky, Sajara Eubanks, Brian Kelleher. So pretty cool to see what the future holds. You know what I mean? For all these cards that are coming up. That's the one on the 13th. And if you're curious about the 16th, I'll tell you real quick about that one. Because basically we have three fight cards in 8 days. I'm excited about that. That's headlined by Alistair Overeem versus Walt Harris. You got Claudia Gadelha versus Angela Hill. Dan Ige versus Edson Barbosa. Eric Anders versus Christoph Jotko. Song Yedong versus Marlon Vera. Anthony Hernandez versus Kevin Holland. Darren Elkins, Nate Landwehr, Courtney Casey. They're all filling out the rest of the fight card. Those aren't bad fight cards, Ghost. Those three.
No. I'm down. I mean, I'm starving for MMA as it is, so if you're going to give me great cards on top of it, cool, let's do it.
Yeah. Tough. He was asked about this on Reddit, and it's going to be returning. I put something out on Facebook. I couldn't believe I was kind of in the minority. People were like, yeah, bring it back. We still get something out of it. And I was like, no. Like, I don't want to see it anymore. But this is the tough I was getting tired of. It was twice a year, and it just, I don't know, it wasn't fulfilling me with the whole, like, we had to isolate these two coaches, and they may or they may not fight. And even the coaches didn't seem as into it as the first couple seasons. There'd be a huge, huge buildup. They'd actually be a huge, huge part of the story leading up to a finale, a fight weekend that included the finale on Friday and, you know, a pay-per-view on Saturday. It just seemed to be so much of a bigger deal, but I felt like Dana White Contender Series just stole all their thunder. It was reality television. You had to win, you had to impress, and then you had to sit in that little kitchen originally and wait for Dana White to say, you're in or you're out, you know? And then
that kitchen was
we only had to wait one more week to do it all again, you know what I mean? And then you brought the families in, and the families would hold their breath. It was pretty cool, and I was like, why are we going back to Tough? I mean, I guess a comeback season, sure.
But I like Tough.
You do?
I do.
So then I wanted to meet those guys halfway and go, okay, maybe once a year, sure, but yeah. You tell me why you like it.
Let me tell you. Well, for one, I just think it's good exposure. Dana White's Contender Series is great, but you get one shot to prove yourself, and then after that, there's a new crop of fighters coming out, right? 10 new fighters. Tough is a little bit lasting. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but really what it comes down to, and this is what I want to pick your brain on, is who do you have coaching? Because I think a lot of the times, you tune into Tough to see the coaches, and then from there, you fall in love with some of the contestants, right? You start to go, okay, this guy's cool. This guy's fun to watch. And that's why you tune in week to week, along with coaches' antics and stuff like that. But initially, I think what draws you in are the coaches. So who would you have coach this new season of Tough? I have my answer. And I think I've said this before on the show, but I want to hear yours.
Well, fuck, this one's tough.
Of course it's tough. I mean, that's what we've been talking about.
Woodley and Covington?
That's my choice.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay. I think that fight could be huge, but I think if you build it up, that's what I think Tough is really good for, is mm-hmm. building that type of animosity, those possible scuffles, all that. I think that's a gold mine.
Okay, but let me tell you something.
That Covington-Woodley fight would be, it's going to be fun to watch. But on top of that, add in some of that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But Woodley last fought in March of 2019 when he lost the title to Usman. Mm-hmm. If they go in and start coaching now, by the time that they do the 6 weeks and then they cut it up and then they start in September and then the fight happens in December, that means it'll be 1 year since we saw Covington fight and he had a great fight versus Usman. Mm-hmm. And it'll be one year and 9 months since we saw Woodley fight, all because of that setback that this thing does.
Well, we don't know when the show's actually coming back. They just said it's coming back.
Right.
This could be a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months. With things like Fight Island, I would be shocked if this is something that took off quickly.
Yeah.
I think this is further down the road. Two other fighters that I could think of that would be a lot of fun in this, Adesanya and Jones, if you want to make that fight happen. I think that would be fun.
What about Adesanya and Costa?
I don't think they would make it. Costa's nutty, dude.
Kind of a loose cannon, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, if they could get two fighters that have just been fighting pretty frequently and they could use the break, sure. But I just want to see these top dogs fight. Man, I just remember being spoiled and seeing a lot of these guys fight 3 times a year. And then if they did that, I used to even say, look, last year you fought January, July, and December. I get it, bro. You're not going to turn around. If you just fought January, July, and December, how are you going to turn around and do it again? Because January is the month of fall, December. So I used to say the next year, give me something in April or May. Give me something in September. Boom. 5 fights in 2 years. And then we'll start again with January, September, or January, July, and December, or whatever. It's really, really tough to go 3-3-3-3. You have to have that year where you go 2. But I noticed a lot of fighters are going, like, what did we mention about Miocic? Miocic, he hasn't defended since he fought DC. And I know he's had the injury, but the time before, same thing. There was, I think DC had the injury or something like that. And Miocic couldn't go. And I don't know, man. You know, and I know these guys are getting paid really, really good money, but they're not getting paid Mike Tyson money. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
And they're not getting any younger. And man, the whole point is to compete. You know, I don't enter an NFL season and they go, this year the 49ers will not play. You know, a couple of their guys needed some time off or they needed this or they needed that. No, fuck no, man. We repair those guys and shove them right back out there. And they have just as serious injuries. So, I don't know. I don't need another reason to hold guys back for anything longer than what it used to be. But I guess I'll concede and maybe every 2 years just – one tough season, okay, but I would rather have, instead of 10 weeks of contenders, 10 weeks in the summer, 10 weeks in the winter. Let's do it.
I could do one a year.
Contenders?
No, Ultimate Fighter. I think both one a year.
All right, last question. What are the other plans that they might have for Masvidal? Take some guesses. Because that sucks. I thought he was fighting Usman. What the fuck else could be out there that could be, you know, that they could be talking to him about. And Jorge should be hanging up the phone and going, I don't want to do that. I'm fighting Usman.
I mean, it is, it's got to be more money than fighting for the title.
Right.
So that only leaves Conor McGregor, right?
Nick Diaz, maybe? Nick, hey, I'm going to avenge my little brother. Bring that bad motherfucker belt.
I don't think anybody would take chances on Nick Diaz right now.
Yeah. I don't know. That's going to be the big guessing game, I guess, for the next few days or weeks until we can actually pin down Dana and go, all right, hold on a second, dude. You don't just throw that out there and, you know, and leave it as is. I mean, what's the deal here? You know, is he the new Iron Man or what? I mean, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
All right, folks. We will see you all on Wednesday for an MMA Junkie Radio show. Then on Sportscaster, check us out. That's our video version of this show. And then, of course, on Saturday, we're going to be doing a watch-along for UFC 249 on Sportscaster. And, of course, later in the week, we'll do a little bit more of the preview for UFC 249. We'll do the best fight odds you know, we'll have that window open and talk about our parlays and everything going into the week, because folks, it is fight week and this thing's happening. I'm pretty damn sure of it. I'm 99.9% sure that it's going down. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. We'll see you all then. Go out there and be a champion.